This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find out more and open an account online at telhio.org. Now, here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
Now I'm a grown man. I understand. I take responsibility. I understand where I did my mistakes. I get too many goals through my arms. I did maybe just little good saves, but still, I should save the team. If the team do the mistakes, I'm the last man there. That's my job, to save them. I didn't do that.
Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who a heart is true. I don't want no other love. Baby, it's just you I'm thinking of.
Well, there's no doubt it was a rough first weekend of the season for the Blue Jackets, and there's equally no doubt that the NHL debut of Elvis Merzlikins didn't go the way that he wanted it to go at all. Welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. This is a Monday mailbag edition. I will get to your questions here in just a few moments. And, of course, Elvis is the subject of a lot of your questions coming into today, so there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to process. There's a lot to go over. So I'll get to it in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about Telhio Credit Union. They've got a lot for you. There's a lot for them to talk about with you if you're willing to do the talking, if you're in need of doing the talking. Maybe you are in need and you don't even know it because maybe you just haven't thought about where your checking account's going to be, where your savings account is going to be. Maybe you haven't thought, hey, I'm going to open a business. Who can help me get that business off the ground? Where do I want to put that money? Where do I want to do my investing? Who do I want to help invest in me? Who do I want to trust? Who do I want to trust me and work as a partner financially, figuring it all out? The answer, Telhio Credit Union. And they've got all the answers for you right there on their website at telhio.org. Go on, surf around, find out all the different things that they have. You know, they don't have just a regular checking account. They have a checking account with some great added features for you, some things that are going to help you, some things that maybe you didn't even think would be attached to a checking account. That's just one example of all the fine things and the fine services that Telhio Credit Union has for you. So go to telhio.org, surf around. If you don't find the answer yourself, there's a live chat option. Go ahead and click on it. Telhio Credit Union is open to everyone in Central and Southwestern Ohio. They are federally insured by NCUA. Now let's get to the business at hand, the business of the Blue Jackets losing two games over the weekend. They lost the home opener to the Toronto Maple Leafs. 4-1 was the final score in that game. The bright spot of that game was Cam Atkinson scoring on opening night. He has now done that on six straight occasions, and that ties a National Hockey League record. It was done once in the 40s. It was done once in the 70s. Cam Atkinson has done it now in the 2000s, almost 2020. But Cam Atkinson is right there. He had the lone goal of the game, ties that record. That's a great individual accomplishment. But from the team perspective, they didn't get the job done. Jonas Korpisalo made the start in net for the Blue Jackets. It was the Blue Jackets going to the penalty box that was the difference in that game on Friday. They were in there way too much. They put a very talented Toronto Maple Leafs power play on the ice. They took six minor penalties, the Blue Jackets did, and that was just too much to overcome. The Leafs were able to utilize that power play time. They turned it into goals. They eventually turned it into 2 points by the end of the night. So the Blue Jackets go into Pittsburgh on Saturday. They're feeling like they did some good things on Friday, but they didn't get the result. And quite honestly, they had at least three chances, and I think it was four, where there was a guy one-on-one with a goaltender, Frederik Andersen, in that game on Friday, and they didn't score. And Frederik Andersen gets a lot of credit for that because he played well in goal. The Blue Jackets also just couldn't finish on Friday. So they were hoping going into Pittsburgh on Saturday that they would have better success. Now, going into Pittsburgh has not been good for the Blue Jackets in the last couple of seasons, quite frankly. But the Pittsburgh Penguins were a team coming off a 3-1 loss on their opening night to the Buffalo Sabres. They had questioned themselves on the day off in between their two games. They had been eliminated in four straight games by the New York Islanders last spring in the first round of the playoffs. So look, they had a lot of questions. They weren't sure exactly what they were. They may not be sure exactly what they are even today, but they were better than the Blue Jackets on Saturday. It was a game that the Blue Jackets played well in the first period. Got to be some back and forth in the first period of the game, but it was 0-0. And all of a sudden, early in the second period, Jack Johnson wrists a shot toward the net that Patrick Hornquist tipped, and it got by Elvis Merzlikins, who, after playing really well and looking really good and really calm in the first period, had that one go by him. And then it wasn't long after that the rout was on. Marcus Patterson, another defenseman for Pittsburgh, shoots one from almost the exact same place that Jack Johnson took his shot. It goes into the net, untipped this time, and it's 2-0. And all of a sudden, the Blue Jackets are starting to try to overcompensate as a team. They're getting away from their defensive structure, and that's just leaving Elvis Merzlikins hung out to dry. Now, the team is responsible for that. And before I get to all of this other stuff, I can nip a lot of it in the bud by saying this to you right now. Even though the team structure broke down, and even though Elvis was put into some bad positions, it is fair to say that there were probably four of the goals that you look at it and you think that an NHL goaltender should have the opportunity, or no, he had the opportunity, didn't do it. You think an NHL goaltender would at least get a piece of that, or at least be able to stop that. And it didn't happen. And Elvis was leaky. The puck went, had one go off the bottom of his glove and redirect right down into the ice and bounce in. You had two go between his arm and the body. You had one go off the thumb of his glove and go up under the crossbar. He struggled. And yes, his teammates put him into bad positions. However, being the last line of defense, he wasn't able to react and make some saves. And it looks like, to me, the untrained eye, or the trained eye, it is trained. Look, I'm not a goalie. I'm not a former goalie. I'm not a goalie coach. I'll just tell you what I see. He is now facing the best of the best in the world. He's played in Switzerland. He's played against good players. He's played in world competition. He's played against good players and NHL players. Every guy here is an NHL player. Every guy here is one of the best in the world. And they are just better than him at this moment. He is adjusting. He is trying to get the timing down. He's trying to get a lot of things figured out. And they took advantage of him. When he did that against Pittsburgh, when he was trying to figure it out, they were taking advantage of him. And they were exploiting him for his inexperience. And that's just the way it is. Now, as he gets more experience, he's going to get better. But two games in and one game for him, and coming off the summer that this team did, I understand why it creates a lot of questions. And rightfully so, it creates a lot of questions. Because the two concerns going into the season, and I talked about this last week and the week before and the week before, the two concerns were the goaltending, or was the goaltending, or were the goaltenders. That would be the proper English way to do it. The goaltenders and who's going to score and pick up the points that were lost when the guys that left did so via free agency. And neither one of those questions has come close to being answered yet. Neither one has come close to being answered yet. So that's why there's concern, and rightfully so. And the Blue Jackets have a chance to alleviate some of that concern because they're back at home tonight to take on the Buffalo Sabres at 7 o'clock. But let's just get right to the questions today. And I'm just going to start right at the beginning, because there was a little skirmish between Pierre-Luc Dubois and Sidney Crosby in Saturday night's game. Actually, it was because Dubois finished off a hit on Jake Guentzel. Crosby didn't like it. Crosby came by and slashed his stick. PLD then gave Sid a little cross check in the back, and then Crosby turned around and said, "You want to go?" And they did. Threw the gloves down. There weren't even any punches. It was more of a wrestling match, and Crosby got himself into position. So Tony wants to know, is there a backstory with those two guys? And the answer, Tony, is no, not really. It was Sidney Crosby doing what hockey players used to do all the time, sticking up for his teammate, more specifically, sticking up for his linemate. Crosby has flourished ever since Jake Guentzel arrived on the scene in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, finally finding a guy that he can play with night in and night out, and they can have great success. So with Dubois going after him like that, Sid was just protecting his line mate, and there was nothing going on in the game. There's a little under 5 minutes left in the second period, and Crosby was just trying to stir something up just to get something going. The only backstory is, remember when Crosby played in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, Pierre-Luc Dubois' dad was coaching in that league, and PL, as a young man, used to go and watch Sidney Crosby. I mean, he knew what he was. Everybody knew what he was and what he had the potential to be in the NHL. So he would go and watch him play, and all of a sudden he was, quote-unquote, fighting against him on Saturday night. But no, there's not a backstory. It was just a situation that happened in the game. The Anderson's Artillery says, do you think splitting up the Anderson, Foligno, and Jenner line would help to give the offensive-minded players on other lines more and better chances to score because they would have more time and space? Well, I think Foligno came off that line, right, the other night. You know Torts. It doesn't take him long to change things. If he doesn't like the look or if he doesn't like what's going on or what he perceives to be going on, he's going to change it. Josh Anderson, I know for a fact, would like to get up on that line with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Cam Atkinson. That was Gus Nyquist's spot the other night. He moved up from the Wenberg line to that top line. He did have a goal. I don't know if that's enough to keep him there or if Anderson gets an opportunity at some point to move up there. But splitting those guys up to give other guys more time and space, I don't know. I mean, the initial reaction is it seems like, oh, yeah, absolutely. But on the other side, I mean, or is it just overreacting? Or are we too quick to take the Torts approach and want to break up lines instead of giving them an opportunity to skate together and try to develop some chemistry and figure it out? So I don't know. Again, on paper, it all sounds good. In theory, is it going to change anything? I don't know. Will it happen? There's a great chance it happens because that's how Torts is. He's quick to change the lines. Mike the Fireman says, my very limited knowledge as a beer league goalie, too many offensive defensemen when we need them providing cover. At this phase, protect your goalie, use proper tape-to-tape passes to stretch the ice. The passing as a whole is down, but all this is fixable. Well, it is fixable, Mike. You're right about that. And the passing is not what it needs to be and not what it should be. And when you talk about too many offensive-minded defensemen, we have all known that. They have thrived with that the last couple of years. But now they're supposed to be playing a more responsible system, although Werenski did have one of the two goals on Saturday night. Ryan Murray is, I think he really struggled in Pittsburgh on Saturday. As great as he was last year when he was healthy, I think he's looking to find that again right now. When you talk about the passing, especially the passing coming out of their own end, I mean, Nutavara was so bad on Friday, he didn't play on Saturday. Same was true with Scott Harrington. Nutavara is one of those guys that is known for getting the puck immediately out of his own end. He wasn't there. Not that Dean Kukin can't do it and doesn't do it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if the passing was there, per your comment, if the passing was there, those guys would still be in the game on Saturday. They wouldn't have gotten taken out of the game on Saturday. So, yes, it all is fixable. And it's just how quickly can you fix it and how much patience are you going to have to fix it? They're going to have more patience than we are. That's just a fact, okay? They are going to have more patience than we are. And we've got to remember that. And I'm saying, when I say we, I mean it. I mean you and me. It's very easy. Where I sit, everything looks perfect. Where I sit, everything is easy to accomplish. It's actually not. It's extremely hard to accomplish. And I get that. But it is frustrating, especially when you know what they are and you know what they can be. Pierre-Luc Dubois lamented that after the game on Saturday. We're a good team. We got to play like a good team. And he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Jody says, I know we don't need to hit the panic button. There are a lot of things that need to be worked out. What do you think we should work on first? Well, again, listen, based on what I just said, and I said, you know, they're going to be more patient than we are. That doesn't mean, let me clarify. I'm not saying don't hit the panic button. And the reason I'm leaning on the panic button is because of the two things I said earlier going into the season. Who's going to stop the puck? Who's going to put the puck in the net at the other end? And there don't seem to be answers to either one of those things, even though it's only two games into an 82-game schedule. But we all know how quickly you can get into trouble if you fall behind in this league and especially in this division. And that's what makes it a little bit more concerning, even though you're just a couple of games in. So what should be worked on first? How about finishing a shot? How about getting to the net and putting the puck in the net? Josh Anderson, 27 goals last year, and he looked great at times in the first two games, getting in, getting breakaways, getting an opportunity, and then missing the net with a shot. So how about getting the puck into the net? Boone Jenner had a chance, I think, in each game where he was one-on-one with the goalie, and he couldn't put it in. Cam Atkinson had one on Friday, but he also had other chances Friday and Saturday where, you know, he had an opportunity in close, and he couldn't finish it. What do you want to work on? Finish your shots. Turn them into goals, because that's what's going to get the other team's attention. Not that you had a breakaway and hit the glass with the puck, and not that you were standing 3 feet from the goalie and couldn't get it by him. That's not going to grab their attention. They're going to go, oh, we can't let that happen again. But if you do that and then you put the puck in the net, now you've got their attention. Rebecca Needham says, no reason to panic yet. So maybe if that's trying to talk me down, well, it's not really, because she didn't know that I was going to talk about the panic button in the previous question. But anyway, Rebecca says, my memory of watching this team the last few years, it's been slow starts. Is this from not enough preseason practice as a complete team or something else? It's not from, I mean, the camp that they have, they should be ready to go. They are ready to go when opening night hits, okay? It's a something else. And I think in many cases with this team, and I think it's because of its youth, to be honest with you, I think in many cases it's between the years. It's not the hockey ability. It's the overthinking it and trying to do a little bit too much. I think that's where they're guilty. Craig says, so when is Elvis going to Cleveland to get some playing time and get adjusted to North American rinks? And who would be our backup in this situation? Well, you see, Craig, that all sounds like a great idea, but that's not the way that it's set up to go. And especially when you ask the next question, who would be our backup? There are two young goaltenders in Cleveland. One is Veni Vevelainen, who also just came over here from Europe and is playing in North America for the first time. So another overseas rookie. And then you've got Matisse Kivlenix, who's been down there for the last couple of years but hasn't really set the world on fire. So, that was my concern going into this, okay, with no veteran goaltender. And I'm not counting Brad Thiessen, who is in Cleveland. He's a great guy to help them. I know he's played in the NHL before, but look, he's basically a player coach right now, and he's doing more coaching than playing. But when you don't have a veteran goaltender in the system as a safety net, there's no safety net right now. It's kind of all on every one of these young guys. It's all on them. And there's not another option at this point as I speak to you. Could that change? Of course that could change. You could go out and find somebody. You could get somebody. You could trade for somebody. You could, you know, if there's a guy that's not playing that you want to come in and have him be a mentor and he can, play sporadically. And if you wanted to move Elvis to the minors and let him play all that stuff, you know, that could change. But as it stands right now, there is nobody like that. So you're kind of, you've kind of made your bed with this, okay, as it stands right now. Elvis is going to have to get better here in practice. That's just how it is. I mean, just as it is, as it stands right now anyway. Cody Compton has a similar question. He says, so now that Elvis has seen how different North American hockey is, do you think he's regretting that he refused to play in the AHL last season? I don't know, and you know what? It's water under the bridge. There's nothing that you can do about it now. You know that I am a huge proponent of the minor leagues. You know that. I've said it before. I spent 12 years of my life in the minor leagues. I feel that even though I don't play the game, I do something totally different. I feel that I learned so much there about how to do my job and how to handle myself in the National Hockey League. That's what it's for. And I will always say that. I will always say that every player should go to the minors and start out. I will, because I did it, and I think it's valuable. However, the world has changed. There are contractual things that you can do, like Elvis did. He was within his rights to come over and sign and not go to the American Hockey League and all that stuff. I don't begrudge him for that. I didn't say I agree with him. I'm just saying he didn't do anything wrong, and I don't begrudge him. And I don't know what his thought might be now about that. But my guess is he's not thinking about that. He's thinking about, I gave up 7 in Pittsburgh. I've got to get better. And I'm going to look at the film, and I'm going to work to get better in practice here every single day. Derek says, do these first two games foreshadow that a restocking of the prospects pool is on the horizon? Is that a clever way, Derek, of asking me if I think that this team's not going to make the playoffs and they'll be drafting higher than they have in the last couple of years, and that would restock the prospect pool? I don't know if that's what you're asking, but if that's what you're asking two games into the regular season, even though I'm a bit panicked and even though I'm concerned and even though I can see the warts, I'm not going to sit here and tell you two games into the regular season this team's not going to make the playoffs. The St. Louis Blues were in last place in January. And they won the Stanley Cup. So I don't advocate that you should try to get into last place and stay there until January and then make an incredible run. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if that's what your question means, two games into the season, there is no way I'm going to even think that that is the direction this thing is going. No, absolutely no way. Next one. This is from Ryan. He says, I don't think that fans should overreact to the Blue Jackets being 0-2 and have only scored 3 goals so far. There are 80 games to go, but what should the fans' level of concern be? Looking forward to listening on my way to work in central Missouri. Well, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that. And, of course, appreciate you being way out there and being interested in what's going on way back here. But as I was just saying, what should the fans' level of concern be? I can't tell you what it should be. I can't tell you how you should feel. I can tell you how I feel. I'll tell you my concerns. You probably have the same ones. And maybe you're a little bit more panicked about it. Maybe you're less panicked about it. And, whenever somebody tells me I'm too negative, I always jokingly say, well, you know, I figure if you're negative, and then if the positive happens, then you're really surprised and you feel good. But if you're positive and then the negative happens, then you're always disappointed. So I don't try to be too overly optimistic. But and that's only partly a joke. Some of it's true, of course, in my weird psyche. But again, I don't think you should be. Look, it's not the end of the world yet. It is only two games in. But there are those concerns. Now, how upset you want to get over it, how concerned you want to be about it right now, that's really up to you. If it continues for a couple of weeks, then I'll tell you exactly how to feel, but I won't have to because you'll already be there. But right now, Ryan, that's a personal perspective as to where you want to be on that subject. Nelson Murdoch and Page say, thoughts on signing a veteran like Patrick Marleau? I say to that one, absolutely not. First of all, I don't think Patrick Marleau would come here. There's a couple of reasons for that. You know, the thought was he was going to go back to San Jose, that there was going to be a deal with San Jose. I had Elliot Friedman of the 31 Thoughts podcast on last week, and he talked about that. He thought he was under the impression that Marleau thought he was going to get an offer from the Sharks, but he's still sitting out there. There was talk about him going to the Kings because Todd McClellan, the former Sharks coach, is now the coach there in Los Angeles. That hasn't happened either. So for Patrick Marleau, he's at a point where he's going to go somewhere that he wants to go. I don't know that this is the place that he wants to go. And now he hasn't had a training camp, and he's going to be behind. So I don't think going in that direction is going to be the answer. So I would say that one I can't see. Scientific Goalie has this question, and it's not about a goalie. What's your recommendation for a good after-game bite in the arena district? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't go out often after games to grab a bite. But when I do, I just I make it very simple because I think it's very simple and I think it's very good. I just go across the street to Boston's and grab a slice and then head home. So that would be that's an easy one for you. But there are plenty of other places that are right there. Of course, the Yard Bar is like the Blue Jackets fans hang out and you can get a bite there and many, many other places right there in the arena district. So if you're asking me, that's my answer to you. All right, some more questions here that have been sent to me on Twitter at Bobby Mac Sports. Jay Alexander says, seeing Elvis's first game struggles, what should be more of a priority? Giving a large bulk of games to Jonas Korpisalo to get him in rhythm or get Elvis in regularly to see if he will take steps forward. I'm definitely on the it's only two games. They always start slow team, by the way. Well, the guy just gave up seven, and you want him to get better, and I understand you're saying it's the best way to get him better playing in games. No. I mean, it's – so you're asking if Korpisalo should sit so that Elvis can get better in game action, and what if it takes a while? And what if he's – what if this seven thing was not just a blip on the radar screen and it becomes an everyday occurrence, then you're going to – not every day, but you know what I'm saying. You can't destroy his confidence either. I know he's a very confident kid and all that stuff, but that only lasts so long, especially in this league where you can be humbled really quickly. So Korpisalo's got to play. And if he struggles, then Elvis has got to play. And if he struggles, then Korpisalo's got to play. And if he struggles – well, you can figure out the pattern for yourself. Mark Carell II says, all this talk about defensive structure and playing smart so far appears just to be that, talk. Too many dumb penalties, and the defensive breakdowns look like their structure was made of straw when the opponent huffs and puffs. Is this fixable in practice, or is there more here? It's fixable in practice. It is, and I understand, Mark, and you're right. I mean, I think it's two things. I think the defensive structure... as soon as you get away from it, you're almost done, right? It's hard to go back, especially if you go to it. If you break out of your defensive structure because of panic, because you're thinking, oh, my God, we're not going to get a goal. Oh, my God, they're going to get too many goals. Oh, my God, we've got to change. We can't play like this. We're not going to win like this. As soon as you change out of panic, it's hard to go back, really hard to go back. So that's one thing, in my opinion. The other tough talk, and I do agree with that, you know, hey, we got to do this. Well, then do it. Do it and do it for 60 minutes. Easier said than done, but just do it for 60 minutes. The other thing is this whole, you know, we know we're a good team. We're still a good team. We've got the right guys here. Okay, well, and again, it's only two games. I get it. But go play like that. Go play like that. Finish those chances in front. Finish on the breakaway. Right? Don't overpass on the power play. Don't overpass at even strength. Shoot the puck. Get it on net. Put it in the net. That's the other thing. I think that's a lot of bravado talk. And through the first two games, I don't think they backed up that bravado talk with the way that they played. And the penalties, yeah, when you're getting penalties for holding and slashing and interference, it's because you made a mistake. And you're trying to make up for it, and the game moves too fast for that. So you get forced into committing a penalty to try to make up for the mistake, and then in many cases, then you're in big, big trouble. Susie Q, 4160, says, are there any players on this year's roster that do not speak English yet? The answer, no. They all speak it. Some better than others, and that's okay, but they all speak it. They all do interviews. And that is a wonderful thing. Somewhat new, as a matter of fact, after the last couple of years. Brown-Eyed Lauren says, I agree it's only game two of 82, and we need to be patient with the goaltending situation and young players. What I don't get is it seems like so far the core guys that weren't finishing their quality chances last year still aren't, hoping this is temporary. Well, exactly, and I talked about it. And those are the guys that you want it, that need to get it done. You want to get it done. Look, Alexander Texier is a rookie. Emil Bemstrom's a rookie. Jacob Lilja is a rookie. If they don't score, If they don't finish, well, then that's one thing. The Boone Jenners, Nick Foligno's, Josh Anderson's, Cam Atkinson's, Alexander Wenberg's, Oliver Bjorkstrand's, Gus Nyquist's. Who did I forget? So Riley Nash. Those guys got to finish. They have to finish. They have to put the puck in the net. I'm sorry. It's just a fact of life. And they all know it. I'm not saying anything that they don't already know. I'm not saying anything that they're not trying to do. Jeremy says, am I wrong to trust the front office over the thoughts of internet strangers after the first two games? Thank you. I'll hang up and listen for your answer. No, you're not wrong to trust them over the internet anytime, by the way. But you understand. We all understand. It's just frustrating. But again, if it's up to them, if the trends continue, they're going to have to do something to change it. And of course, they would be well aware of that because they knew going in what the weaknesses were, the potential weaknesses were. It's just a matter of, are they going to be long-term devastating weaknesses? Are they going to be short-term weaknesses that are going to improve? That's the kind of stuff that they have to evaluate, and they will. And if they see that there's a problem, it is up to them to address it, and I fully expect that they will based on the track record here. So, yes, always trust them. Jared says, just wanted to say thank you for doing this show. I look forward to it. I love your perspective on the Jackets. Well, thank you, Jared. Thank you. It's nice for the compliment, and it's nice to not have to explain anything after the question/statement. So I appreciate it on two fronts, and thank you for listening. And Robbie Bing finally says, do you think Torch is going to do what he always does and switch up the lines even though they have not had much time to get comfortable with each other? The answer to that, Robbie, is yes. And the reason is because that's what he does. Does he jump the gun sometimes? Probably. But he's been doing this for a long time, and that's been his MO. And hey, look, sometimes, in all fairness, and this happened last year, now I won't remember the situation, but he changed lines during one game, and he found something that worked that we hadn't considered before that. So, and I forget exactly who it was, but I talked to him about it before a game last year. But, and he even said, he goes, oh yeah, you're always all over me for switching my lines, and then we would have never found that combination. And he's right. So, in all fairness to him, even where you and I sometimes think he's jumping the gun, he does occasionally stumble upon something. And, of course, that's what he's looking for. That's what he's trying to do. So the Blue Jackets take on the Buffalo Sabres tonight, 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena. Our pregame coverage starts at 6:30 tonight. Dylan Tyre will have that for you on the flagship station of the Blue Jackets Radio Network, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus and across the radio network throughout the state. The Buffalo Sabres come into this one flying high. They are 2-0. They not only beat the Penguins on Thursday night last week, 3-1 in Pittsburgh, but then they thumped the New Jersey Devils in Buffalo the other night. 7-2 was the final in that one. Buffalo, they've got a new coach. They've got some new players. They've got a new attitude. They feel good about themselves. Sounds like the perfect team to beat and take the air out of their tires. And the Blue Jackets will get that opportunity tonight. Once again, pregame coverage starts at 6:30 on the Blue Jackets Radio Network, and the puck drops at 7 o'clock. As always, thank you for your questions. You can send them to me anytime on Twitter at BobbyMaxSports. And that'll do it for today's edition of the Monday Mailbag on CBJ and 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Out. We'll be right back.